to another edition of Northwestern Outdoors Radio, the weekly show covering the great outdoors in the Pacific Northwest and Rocky Mountain West. Fishing, hunting, conservation, recreation, and destinations, we cover that and more. Northwestern Outdoors is brought to you by Max Lur, Sportsman's Warehouse, Northeast Montana's Missouri River Country, the Wallowa County Chamber of Commerce, and the Northern Pike Minnow Sport Reward Fishery Program. Now, let's see what's in store this week. Here's your host, John Cruz.
We are rolling in towards the end of April, and I'll tell you what, as an angler, I am excited. Now, living in Washington State, next weekend's a really big weekend. It's the Lowland Lakes opener. Hundreds of lakes are going to open up, and thousands of anglers are going to be hitting those lakes looking for stocked hatchery trout. The Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife will also have their annual trout derby, so if you catch a tagged fish, that's going to be worth the prize. Might be a gift card, might be something a whole lot more, but you'll definitely want to go online or call and find out exactly what prize you've caught. Now, while a lot of folks are going to be out fishing for trout, personally, this coming Thursday and Friday, I'm going to be fishing for bass because that Pro-Am tournament put on by Limit Out Marine at Potholes Reservoir in Grant County and Mardon Resort, it's happening. And if you've been on the fence about participating in this tournament where, as a pro, you can win a $50,000 bass boat, as an amateur angler fishing off the back of the boat, you can win a $5,000 paycheck. You've only got till Sunday the 21st. That's this weekend to sign up. So you better hop off that fence, sign up, and I can't wait to see you there because it's going to be a ton of fun, and the fishing has been pretty darn good out at Potholes lately, especially back in the sand dunes. If you're wondering what the website is, that's easy. BigBassTrail.com. That's BigBassTrail.com for the Pro-Am tournament and the Big Bass Tournament happening May 4th and 5th. The deadline for that is also this weekend on the 21st, so don't miss out. I'm going to be at both, and I really want to fish with you there. This week on the show, we've got some great guests. In just a couple of minutes, you're going to hear from Roger Phillips and Connor Lease with the Idaho Department of Fish and Game. Roger's got some great outdoors news stories to share with you, and Connor's going to tell you about his latest labor of love. That would be a brand new podcast covering outdoors news out of Idaho called Hook and Bulletin. You can hear it anywhere you normally hear podcasts. Again, it's Idaho Fish and Game's Hook and Bulletin, and Connor's doing a great job hitting it right out of the park as he launches it. You can listen to his fourth episode on Thursday. It drops every Thursday night so that you can make plans for the weekend. Bob Loomis with Max Lure is back for another extended Max Minute, and if you're looking for a lure to use on a lake that has both kokanee and trout in it, he's got just the thing for you. After we talk to Bob, we're going to talk to Penny Burciaga. She is the woman behind Northwest Hunt Fest, a show that is all about hunting, all sorts of hunting, taking place at the Kootenai County Fairgrounds in Coeur d'Alene on May 10th and May 11th. And by the way, kids 17 and under are free. This is a brand new show. It looks like it's going to be all sorts of fun. It's got a whole bunch of seminars you'll want to attend too. In addition to this, we're going to head down to Wallowa County, Oregon, find out how the fishing's been at Wallowa Lake for some big kokanee when we talk to Brad Snook at the Sports Corral in Joseph. And I've also got a rant, a real rant to share, because something absolutely horrific and distasteful has happened in Sublette County, Wyoming. It actually happened late February. It involves the torture of a wolf and the killing of the animal, and very little accountability is being done over the situation. This story is going to make your blood boil, and I can only hope that if enough light is shed on it, the state of Wyoming is going to make some changes to their animal cruelty laws. All right, let's turn to a happier place, and that would be our weekly edition of Bird Note. And by the way, I would encourage you to go to birdnote.org and support this wonderful program.
This is Bird Note. Imagine you're a cliff swallow, soaring and swooping on a long flight from South America in the spring. Sounds pretty nice. But when you arrive in North America to nest, the dirty work begins. To build a mud nest under the eaves of a barn, you and your mate have to find a mud puddle or creek. Next, start scooping up mud with your beak. You build the floor first. Press a row of mud pellets against the wall, 4 to 5 inches beneath an overhang, making a slight crescent shape. Once the floor extends far enough out, build the sides up. To finish, give the roof a rounded taper, like the top of a jug. The opening just wide enough to wiggle in and out, angles downward. Finally, line the inside with dry grass for the eggs. After days of work and 1,000 mouthfuls of mud, your nest is complete, and it's just one part of a large colony. Nesting on vertical human structures like bridges, culverts, and buildings has helped the species expand its range. Even in new habitats, cliff swallow construction skills get the job done. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Are you looking for a game changer to help you catch more trout, kokanee, and salmon? No problem. Just tie on Max Crip Lure. Cast it or troll it. Either way, its specially designed ring chamber emits a low-frequency vibration with its erratic movement. It will catch more fish and make them strike. Better still, the different colors for the lure can be matched to just about any fishery. Look for the Crip Lure from Max Lure Company at a sporting goods store near you or go online at maxlure.com.
You're back in with Northwestern Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. It's time for our monthly check-in with the Idaho Department of Fish and Game, because there's always a lot of news coming out of the Gem State when it comes to fishing, hunting, and conservation. With us this week is Roger Phillips, and in a minute we'll also be joined by Connor Leese. Roger, welcome back to the show.
Always great to be here, John.
So I wanted to start off with some really good news. One of your game wardens slash enforcement officers was recognized with an international award.
Yeah, Spencer Weshey. She's over in our Rexburg area in eastern Idaho, and she was recognized by the Shikar Safari Club International, which is a conservation organization who, you know, seeks out people who've done outstanding work, and she certainly qualifies, and we're very proud of her for getting this award.
Well, very impressive indeed, and that is some great recognition, because there's 50 states and a whole lot of countries that have enforcement officers, so good for her. Turning to enforcement-related news, five elk were shot and killed in two separate incidents in early March in southwest Idaho. Tell our listeners about this case and why you need some help solving it.
Well, incredibly frustrating. You know, when we have five elk killed and left to basically rot, we have includes two bulls. And when you really think about how meaningful those elk could be to a hunter next fall, you know, to a family of hunters, whatever, or just the public who likes to see wildlife, and somebody just went out and shot those things. And I won't even try to get into their head and tell you why they did it, but we know they didn't try to salvage any of the meat. And, you know, a little bit of a broken record alert. If we want to catch these people, we're going to need help from the public. Please call and let us know if people know anything about these, because our officers can't be every place at once. And that's usually how we break cases like this, is somebody knows something and they're able to relay that to us. People can call our CAP hotline or any of our regional offices. They can be anonymous, and they are eligible for a reward in the case of a citation.
Now, these incidents happened in Unit 39. Exactly where is that?
You know, that's to the east of Boise a bit and up in a fairly heavily traveled area. So, there's a decent chance that somebody saw something. I mean, so we're always hopeful that somebody can make the tie to the individual who did this or the individuals who did it. Or sometimes, you know, they just hear something or see something. And, you know, if people give us even a minor tip and a few people give us tips, then we can kind of connect the dots on those things and hopefully make a case.
Well, I hope that somebody listening today did see something out there, not necessarily the actual spree killing itself, and maybe you saw a vehicle that was out of place or speeding away or whatever. If you did see anything, call the Citizens Against Poaching hotline and let them know what you saw. It might just be a little piece of the puzzle that'll help break this case. Let's continue in southwest Idaho. I understand there's a wing shooting course that's being offered for new shooters, and quite frankly, I could probably benefit from it too. Fourth Sunday of every month from April through July in Kuna at a shooting range out there. Tell our listeners more about this.
Yeah, you know, this is an opportunity to, like you said, improve your wing shooting and shooting clay birds and things like that with a bunch of very experienced hunters and shooters at Quail Unlimited who partnered with us on that one. And this is part of a, you know, a pretty extensive range of courses that we're offering outside of the usual hunter and archery ed, that folks can come out and kind of learn some hunting skills and shooting skills and just basic firearm handling. So again, they can look on our website and see these things are all over the state at different times. So hopefully folks can come out and get some good training.
Now let's head to Southeast Idaho. Two winters ago, we had a really harsh winter there, and in Western Wyoming, really knocked down the mule deer herds there. And the herd that's out there is called the Caribou Mule Deer Herd. And I understand that your biologist recently had the chance to do a survey and find out exactly how hard hit this herd was.
Yeah, over winter we got a chance to go out and fly and get an idea of, you know, the raw numbers here, the estimates, and we probably lost about a third of the herd out there, which is of course heartbreaking and a little glimmer of good news. We've had a much milder winter, so we're hopeful that we'll see a little bump in those herds. But, you know, we kind of ask people's patience in these things because, you know, this is the kind of storm that we see once every decade or so, and I shouldn't say storm, I should say winter. And that's what knocks back mule deer herds. And it takes a while for them to recover. And of course, we're always hopeful that we're going to see things moving in the right direction. But at the same time, we also know one winter or one mild winter isn't going to fix everything. So we're hopeful, but we're also, you know, always a little guarded in that. And at least now we know what we're dealing with. We've made some changes for the fall hunts. We've almost eliminated, well, we have eliminated all the antlerless hunts down there to kind of help them along a little bit. And again, we're hopeful, but we're also realistic that we took a big hit down there and it's going to take a while for them to recover.
That's Roger Phillips, folks, with the Idaho Department of Fish and Game. And now we're going to talk to Connor Leese. He's also a public information officer, a public affairs officer with the Idaho Department of Fish and Game. And he is the man behind a brand new podcast from the agency called Hook and Bulletin. Connor, really good stuff. I've enjoyed the first few episodes.
Oh, thank you, John. And thanks for having me on.
So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what's being offered in Hook and Bulletin every week?
Absolutely. So yeah, you hit it right on the head every week. And the goal we're trying to achieve with it is providing sportsmen and women kind of a new outlet, a new channel for digesting our content every week. So a lot of the stories, you know, they're still relevant. They're coming out the week before. And yeah, just trying to a new platform for folks.
Well, I really like it, and it's being offered on all the major podcast platforms. Again, it's Idaho's Hook and Bulletin podcast. Definitely want to check it out. There's been 3 episodes dropped so far, and there's going to be another one dropped. What day of the week do you usually drop them?
We try to publish them every Thursday evening, so that way hunters and sportsmen and women can download them either the night before or kind of keeping in mind folks heading out of town for the weekend on hunter fishing trips or whatever they're doing. So, yeah, try to make it timely for people.
I like your use of sound effects in the podcast. They fit quite well with the stories. Did you have a lot of fun looking for those sound effects to use?
Oh, it's so much fun. Yeah, everything from the sound effects, the music, to some of the sound bites we get, it's a lot of fun. I always look forward to it every week.
So far, it's been a lot of reporting by you of the press releases. Do you anticipate having guests on, maybe some of your internal biologists or something like that?
We definitely do. Yeah. And we've actually gotten some really good feedback from listeners just in the first couple episodes who pitched some really helpful ideas. We've had one listener pitch the idea of talking about black bears and just interesting facts about black bears. And it's really nice because we have all the subject matter expert here to talk to. So yeah, down the road, we'll definitely try to format it so that we have some interviews kind of spaced here and in and out, kind of supplement the content.
Well, I've got a second that listener. That would be a very interesting discussion to have, just interesting facts about black bears. They're fascinating animals, both the black bears and the grizzly bears. So again, folks, it's the Hook and Bulletin podcast. Just Google Idaho Fish and Game Hook and Bulletin, and you're going to find the podcast. You can listen to it on whatever platform you like to listen to your podcast to, and stay in the know about what's going on with Idaho Department of Fish and Game on a weekly basis. Again, the shows drop Thursday evenings. Connor, thanks for sharing this with us today on Northwestern Outdoors Radio.
Thank you so much for having me, John.
Located in the northeast corner of Oregon, Wallowa County offers a unique destination rich in natural beauty and outdoors recreation. Enjoy the clear waters of Wallowa Lake. Take a tram to the top of Mount Howard for million-dollar views. Hike or ride into the Eagle Cap Wilderness and fish or raft the Wallowa and Grand Ronde Rivers. It's all waiting for you in beautiful Wallowa County. Plan your visit today at WallowaCountyChamber.com. That's WallowaCountyChamber.com.
Western Bass Anglers, time is running out to sign up for the Limit Out Marine Pro-Am and Big Bass tournaments coming up really soon. The deadline is April 21st to register for the Pro-Am, taking place April 25th and 26th at Potholes Reservoir in eastern Washington. The winner of this event, if we get 100 boats, will win a brand new Phoenix Bass boat worth $50,000, and the amateur can win a $5,000 paycheck. Meanwhile, the Big Bass Contest, if we have 100 boats, on May 4th and 5th at Potholes, the biggest bass will be worth $10,000, and there's hourly cash prizes too for the biggest bass weighed in every hour. Find out more and register today at BigBassTrail.com. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to Northwestern Outdoors Radio and to an extended Max Minute brought to you by Max Lure.
It's time again for another extended Max Minute brought to you every week by Max Lure Company. With us once again, Bob Loomis. Bob, question for you.
Yes, sir.
I want to go fishing at a lake that has both trout and kokanee. And I know I've got several lakes I can choose from. There's Lake Stevens over in western Washington, as well as American Lake. In eastern Washington, you've got those Konkanuli lakes opening at the end of April that also have both kokanee and trout. Is there one lure I can use to catch both?
Yeah, you know, early in the season, John, one of the things that works tremendously well is a lure that's called a peewee hoochie. What it is, it's a small squid body set up on a double hook rig with no spinner blades or anything. And it works tremendously well early in the season when you're not trying to, you don't want to really spook the fish. Is what you're doing is you're traveling at a little bit higher rate of speed, and you're trying to get those fish, they're up feeding on the surface, so they're going to chase different types of lures up on the surface.
So we're not talking necessarily about fishing these with a downrigger ball. I mean, you could just use a little keel weight, or maybe if you're right up by the surface, even some split shot to just keep it down below the surface of the water.
You bet. Exactly. That's the way it needs to be fished.
Any colors in particular you'd recommend for this early spring fishery?
You know, you can never go wrong with the hot pinks, the hot oranges, different things like that always work well.
All right. Well, if you're looking for a mixed bag of trout and kokanee at one of our lakes, whether it be in Washington, Oregon, or Idaho, where you're going to find both species, consider the Peewee Hoochie from Max Lures. You can find it at sporting goods stores, and you can also find it online at maxlure.com.
Looking for that extra something that will get more salmon or trout into your boat? Then check out the Double D Dodger from Max Lure. The Double D does double duty and helps you catch more fish. The Double D's flash attracts lunkers, and the Dodger's patented stop-start action works wonders to get those fish biting. The Double D does even more by acting as a side planer to get your bait away from the boat where the fish are more likely to be and more apt to strike. The Double D Dodger, it's the Dodger you've got to have from Max Lure.
Go fishing. Help salmon and make money. You can do it through September 30th by catching northern pike minnow and turning them in for cash. Here's how it works. First, register at a designated station on the Columbia or Snake River. Then, go fishing. At the end of the day, turn in any pike minnow you catch 9 inches or longer and look for the ones with tags worth $500. You'll get vouchers for those pike minnow you turn in, and you mail those in for cash. Find out more at pikeminnow.org.
This year, resolve to immerse yourself into the great outdoors. Whether you're learning to hunt, fish, hike, camp, paddle, or grill, or are looking to take yourself to the next level, the place to go for the gear you need is Sportsman's Warehouse. With over 145 stores around the nation, Sportsman's Warehouse is truly America's premier outfitter. Find a store near you or shop online anytime at sportsmans.com. That's sportsmans.com for Sportsman's Warehouse.
Thank you. You're back in with Northwestern Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We've got Penny Berciaga on the line. She is the woman behind Northwest Hunt Fest. It's taking place at the Kootenai County Fairgrounds in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho in May. As a matter of fact, the exact dates are May 10th and May 11th, noon to 7 p.m. on Friday the 10th, and 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Saturday the 11th. And by the way, kids under 17 are free. Penny, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So this is the first Northwest Hunt Fest. Tell our listeners what's going to be going on.
Well, we have a hunting extravaganza for all the hunting enthusiasts, as well as those folks that maybe have never hunted before. We actually have a ton of women signed up, so that's exciting. This is actually a family-friendly event. Our mission of the Northwest Hunt Fest is to put on youth archery and young hunter programs. So this is actually a fundraiser for our youth programs, but we are focused on hunter education, and we are partnering with the Idaho Fish and Game, as well as Slayer Elk Calls and North Idaho Archery, and bringing a great event to the fairgrounds that is going to have something for new hunters and hunters that have been, you know, hunting for 20 years. We're going to have new to advanced hunting techniques. So bring in a great event with 20 plus seminars, over 40 vendors, demonstrations, and something for everyone who's a hunting enthusiast or just wanting to get started.
You know, seminars are a big part of these shows. Why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners what some of the seminars are that you're excited about?
Yeah, we have an elk calling track, which is about how to call elk and also what to do if you get stuck in a rut, literally with the elk, like how to know how to hunt during the rut season and each week, because each week is different. We have Turkey 101. We have Whitetail 101. We have how to what gear to be successful. I mean, you can go to a store and there's tons of stuff to buy, but what do you really need to be a successful hunter? And we have taxidermy demonstrations and gosh, so much. You can check it all out on the website. We have all the descriptions of all the courses that were going to be available, as well as demonstrations such as a butchering demonstration for small game and big game. And we also got bird dog demonstrations for those that are interested in how to train your bird dog or what kind of dog to get. And also waterfowl type of seminars as well. So we got the whole gamut, trying to cover every area of hunting that we possibly can.
The website to go to, folks, is northwesthuntfest.com. That's northwesthuntfest.com for the Northwest Hunt Fest. Again, the date's May 10th. That's a Friday. May 11th. That's a Saturday. Taking place at the Kootenai County Fairgrounds in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. So easily accessible, obviously, from Northeast Washington and from the Idaho Panhandle and, heck, even Western Montana. I bet you might get some folks from Missoula that are heading there, too. Let's talk about some of the vendors you've got there.
Yeah, we actually have Idaho Backcountry Veterans, and we have Spoken Outdoors. We got tons of vendors, actually, for veterans that are serving veterans and getting them in the outdoors. We have, of course, food vendors. We got camo, optics. Now, we're not a big outdoor show. We're not someone that we're going to have a ton of, hundreds of vendors. We are really targeting this to be educational and making sure that the vendors that are there are providing exactly what's needed for a hunter to be successful out in the field. So we have a lot of quality vendors, but it's not like a huge show. We're really, really focusing on education. It's not overly commercial, but just really great vendors to get you what you need to be successful.
Now, you do have one fishing vendor there, though there is definitely a hunting tie-in in terms of a cast and blast option, Hell's Canyon Sport Fishing. Is there some sort of prize you're offering through them?
Oh, it is a prize. In fact, it is for six people to go out during peak chikar hunting season and also with fishing. So we want to get the families outside, exploring the outdoors and just experiencing the joy of just being out there, catching the fish, hunting the birds. And it is for six people. So it's worth $2,100. Every attendee gets the option to or gets in the drawing for that grand prize. And then we got tons of other prizes that we're giving away as well, because we're just going to celebrate the hunting tradition and bringing out the whole family. So perfect for bringing out your grandkids, your kids, and even, you know, like women who are just wanting to get started hunting. I'm just super excited about the women who, like me, are getting outside and learning to hunt.
How do folks enter for a chance to win this trip with Hell's Canyon Sport Fishing?
Well, when they get their ticket and they show up, they're automatically entered. Now, you must be present to win. We're going to have an evening celebration, and we're actually celebrating the 125th anniversary of Idaho Fish and Game that evening, and we're going to have a speaker panel. So, you know, there's tons of online hunting classes, but what makes this different is you are up close and personal with experts. You can sit there and ask them as many questions as you want, and really bringing the hunting community together. So this is not some online class. This is up close and personal and really hands-on.
I see that Cabela's and Bass Pro Shops is one of the vendors. Are they going to be selling things on sale there?
Well, they're going to have some demos and some giveaways for sure. We do have some other hunting vendors that are selling some camo, optics. We got just antler displays. We also have a live falcon exhibit that's going to be there, learning about our natural bird hunters. And so much that people can come out for and learn.
Speaking of the falconry display, I saw one of your vendors is Fat Rooster and Hawk, and I was wondering whether that's the one or whether that's a food truck.
No, that's not a food truck. That is definitely some, I believe, some rain gear, and there's a hawk display. Yeah, for sure.
All right. Some of the other vendors that are going to be there is the Western Wolf Academy, Trapline Taxidermy, the First Hunt Foundation, great organization there, Slayer Calls, like you mentioned, Pepper Preppers, North Idaho Archery, Kids in the Outdoors, Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, and a whole bunch more. If you want to check out the entire lineup of vendors and the seminar schedule, again, northwesthuntfest.com is the website to go to. Now, let's talk a little bit about you, Penny. How did you decide to go ahead and start this not easy task, putting a sportsman show together?
Right. So I've done some festivals in the past, but really what happened is, you know, I grew up hunting with my dad in the mountains of northern Idaho, just great memories of that, living off the land. So that's how I grew up. And then about 3 years ago, I got a bow put in my hand and started archery, and then went out archery hunting. And it just was amazing to be out there with the animals and chasing after elk and talking to them. And so I just fell in love with it. And as I, you know, as a new hunter trying to learn all the regulations and like, where do I hunt and how do I track animals? And, you know, there was so much to learn. And I went online and I was, you know, trying to learn, and I went to a few in-person classes, but, you know, there was just so much, and I wanted to be successful. I mean, you're out there and there's, you know, there's backcountry medical that you need to know. And we actually have one of those seminars at our Hunt Fest. But, you know, I just wanted to share, you know, I wanted other people to experience the joy that I have experienced, and I want them to be successful, and I want them to be safe. And so I actually quitted my corporate job when I turned 50 and decided to, you know, do something different. And I combined my passion with my skills and experience with events and decided to put this on. So I went to my husband, asked for $250 to rent the fairgrounds, and here we go. And it has exploded. The success of just, and the interest is just amazing. And I'm just elated to bring this to the community and excited for folks to get out there and get that bull that they've been chasing for years.
Well, it looks like it's going to be a great event. Again, folks, the website to go to for the Northwest Hunt Fest at the Kootenai County Fairgrounds in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho on May 10th and May 11th is very simple, northwesthuntfest.com. You can buy your tickets online right now. Penny, wishing you the best of luck at the show, and thanks for sharing this with us today on Northwestern Outdoors Radio.
Thank you.
Western Bass Anglers, time is running out to sign up for the Limit Out Marine Pro-Am and Big Bass tournaments coming up really soon. The deadline is April 21st to register for the Pro-Am, taking place April 25th and 26th at Potholes Reservoir in eastern Washington. The winner of this event, if we get 100 boats, will win a brand new Phoenix Bass boat worth $50,000, and the amateur can win a $5,000 paycheck. Meanwhile, the Big Bass Contest, if we have 100 boats on May 4th and 5th at Potholes, the biggest bass will be worth $10,000, and there's hourly cash prizes too for the biggest bass weighed in every hour. Find out more and register today at BigBassTrail.com. We'll see you there. You're back in with Northwestern Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz, and I hope you're ready for a rant because I've got one. It involves animal cruelty. It involves torture. A horrific incident that happened in Sublette County, Wyoming, near the town of Daniel. And it involves a man that, in my opinion, is a piece of garbage. His name is Cody Roberts. On February 29th, he ran down a young wolf estimated to be just over a year old with a snowmobile. And the wolf was severely injured, so he took it home. He duct-taped its mouth. He took pictures of it at his home. Then he put a muzzle on it and took it down to the local bar in Daniel, the Green River Bar, and showed it around, tortured it, people laughed, and then he took it out back of the bar and he killed it. And nobody said a thing until early April when this story finally broke and video started emerging about this that was found on social media that shows Cody Roberts with the wolf, that shows patrons in the bars laughing at the wolf as it lay suffering on the floor of the bar. And so, as you might imagine, Wyoming Game and Fish got involved. But here's where people got really angry. Because Cody Roberts, he did meet up with a game warden from Wyoming Game and Fish, and he got a ticket for a whopping $250 for possessing a live wolf. That was the only charge he got. And you're probably wondering, why is this? Well, it's because of the way wolves are managed in Wyoming. You see, wolves in certain parts of Wyoming are managed as game animals. And there's certain ways you're allowed to take them with a rifle or through trapping. And there's rules. But in this part of Wyoming, they're considered a predatory animal on the same level as coyotes. And animal cruelty laws in Wyoming do not apply to predatory animals. So in Wyoming, you can literally do anything you want to a wolf in a predatory zone and get away with it, as long as you're not taking it home. But torturing it, killing it, yeah, the state's fine with that. Now, the state's not fine with the way this played out. From the Cowboy State Daily, we have a quote from Wyoming's Governor Mark Gordon, who condemned the incident, saying cruelty to any wildlife is absolutely unacceptable. This is not the way anyone should treat any animal. Brian Nesvik, the Game and Fish Director in Wyoming, says the actions and behaviors of the individual involved in this case are not reflective of Wyoming's values for wildlife. The actions that came to light in this case were disrespectful to wildlife. These actions were not in keeping with conservation principles or ethical behavior. This incident casts a shadow over our state's proven track record in successfully and responsibly managing our gray wolf population. And in this article, the Cowboy State Daily notes that Sheriff Lair, who's the sheriff of Sublette County, said he's received more than 7,000 emails about the Wyoming man, Cody Roberts, who reportedly captured and tormented this wolf before killing it. Lair said people in his office, as well as Sublette County and Wyoming Game and Fish Department personnel, have been receiving death threats, as has Cody Roberts and staff at the Green River Bar. So far, according to the sheriff, about 99% of the callers are calling from outside Wyoming, and nobody has physically carried out any of these threats. The sheriff went on to say they are investigating to see if they can levy additional criminal charges against Cody Roberts, but the Sublette County Attorney, Melinkovich, said he's not certain whether animal cruelty charges could be brought to bear in the case, and after reading an article in Outside Magazine, it would appear, for the reasons I explained, they probably cannot. Now, there's additional problems with what Cody Roberts did. Number one, hunters are being painted with a broad brush as being responsible for this. There's an article in the New York Post that said a Wyoming hunter did this. And let's be clear, running over wolves with snowmobiles is about the same as running over people with your car or truck. That's not hunting. It's called hit and run or vehicular assault. So some of our so-called journalists out there, especially in urban areas who've never hunted in their life, need to be a little more careful with their choice of words because ethical hunters do not in any way support what happened here. I would also suggest that the state of Wyoming revisit their laws regarding animal cruelty and make them apply to all animals because running over animals, torturing them, parading them around bars, this is simply unacceptable and should be a wake-up call. I'm not saying there's not a need to trap animals like wolves or coyotes in certain parts of the state, but I am saying that this behavior was simply horrific. And I'll say it again, Cody Roberts, you're a piece of garbage for what you did. And to all those people in the Green River Bar who laughed, who thought it was cool, who didn't say anything, you're garbage too. Let's move on to a brighter subject. Next on Northwestern Outdoors Radio, we're taking you to Joseph, Oregon, in Wallowa County. We're heading to the Sports Corral, where Brad Snook has got a fishery report for you. Brad, great to have you back on the air.
Hello, John. Good to hear from you.
Let's start off with Wallowa Lake, where that world record kokanee was caught about 14 years ago. How's the kokanee fishing this spring?
Well, it's waking up pretty decently. We're especially hearing about 15-inch to 18-inch fish. Some days better than others, of course, but we've already had a couple over the 20-inch category, so that's a good way to wake up.
Oh, it absolutely is. And, you know, kokanee, very cyclical. You know, you had back, I think it was 2010 when that record fish was caught, and right after that, there was a crash because the lake became overpopulated. You had all these stunted kokanee, but it's been coming back and coming back and coming back, and, you know, 15 to 18-inch fish, that's definitely worth a trip out to Wallowa Lake. Those are some very high-quality kokanee salmon.
Yes, yes, that's very true. Good news at this week also, boat docks came in on the north end as well. So docking the boat is much easier. That's a good thing as well. We're all ready for a new season.
Fantastic. And folks, you can launch either from the north end of the lake, right where those docks are now at, or down at Wallowa Lake State Park at the marina there. Let's talk about how folks are catching them this time of year. What's a good setup to use?
Well, they always start with jigs. The people that go early go out and jig. They hunt the fish with their fish finders and such like that. P-line coconators always been a highlight for 10 years or better at our lake. But this week, boats did start moving and doing some trolling as well. So hoochies and apex lures for moving and working that way.
Let's talk about some of the rivers in the area. You've got the Wallowa River, the Grand Ron, both very good rivers to fish, as well as the Amnaha. Are they being fished right now, or are we dealing with spring runoff?
Very definitely being fished. Some good camping going on. Fishing has been good all winter, but spring runoff has caught up with us and doesn't flush the fish out, but it does give them the advantage to hide.
Absolutely. Well, the old adage is when the water is high, fish very close to shore, much closer you'd ever expect, and a lot of times that's where the fish are. So keep that in mind. Definitely some good quality trout fishing in the Wallowa River. And, you know, when do the smallmouth bass start showing up in the Grand Ronde?
Oh, I would say that's more like June at best. Yeah, that'll be a bit yet.
Fair enough. All right, any other fisheries we should talk about?
There's Kinney Lake right out of town. Our stocking program is very good, and then also Mar Pond and Enterprise. So there's places to take not just the kids. There's a good opportunity for the adults, of course, but that's an extra bonus for the kids especially.
Absolutely. Last but not least, any sales going on at the Sports Corral our listeners would be interested in?
Oh, we're getting wound up for the new season. We've got fresh Ariat boots in for looking nice on Friday night, and we've got rods and reels, and we can set you up from first time to something extra nice for the pole and reel you always wished you had.
Well, there you go, folks. It's the Sports Corral in Joseph, Oregon, in beautiful Wallowa County. Make it a point to drop on by, see Brad and the rest of the crew there, and get what you need for success to go fishing in Wallowa County and Wallowa Lake. Thanks as always, Brad.
Thank you, John.
Finally, if you're looking for something interesting to do, consider a visit to Fort Flagler State Park out in the Olympic Peninsula, south of Port Townsend. Fort Flagler is one of three coastal artillery forts built in the latter part of the 19th century to protect Seattle and Bremerton from any invading naval fleets. And at Fort Flagler, they are offering several times a week tours of the gun emplacements as well as tours of the hospital built in 1905. And this coming Saturday, the 27th, they've even got a searchlight program. You remember searchlights, don't you? They used to be used at car dealerships at night to advertise sales. You don't see too many of those anymore, but back in the day, they were used to look for either enemy aircraft or enemy ships or targets for target practice out in Puget Sound and Admiralty Inlet. You can find out more about when these tours are taking place by going to the Washington State Parks website. That would be at parks.wa.gov. Stick around. We've got more of the great outdoors coming your way to include your Sportsman's Warehouse Trivia Question of the Week.
Want to go fishing and make money? You are in luck.
This year's Pike Minnow Sport Reward Fishery kicks off May 1st. Just register at a check station and go fishing for 9-inch or longer northern pike minnow within designated waters of the Columbia or Snake River. Then you bring your fish back and collect a voucher good for a cash reward. The more fish you catch, the more they're worth. Catch a pike minnow with a special tag and you've landed $500. Find out more at pikeminnow.org. That's pikeminnow.org.
Come to Northeast Montana's Missouri River Country for an outdoors adventure. We offer unparalleled wildlife watching at our expansive wildlife refuges. Check out our dinosaur museums and our charming small towns, or revitalize your body with a stay at Sleeping Buffalo Hot Springs. You can kayak or canoe our lakes and rivers, or hike our trails. At night, go stargazing where light pollution won't spoil your view. Find out more at MissouriRiverMT.com.
The Brewster Salmon Derby is going off August 2nd through the 4th on the Upper Columbia River. There's over $10,000 in cash and prizes, to include a $2,000 check for the King of the Pool. Register today at BrewsterSalmonDerby.com.
This year, resolve to immerse yourself into the great outdoors. Whether you're learning to hunt, fish, hike, camp, paddle, or grill, or are looking to take yourself to the next level, the place to go for the gear you need is Sportsman's Warehouse. With over 145 stores around the nation, Sportsman's Warehouse is truly America's premier outfitter. Find a store near you or shop online anytime at sportsmans.com. That's sportsmans.com for Sportsman's Warehouse.
Before we go today, we've got time for one last shot of Northwestern Outdoors Radio with your host, John Cruz.
I'm glad you're back, because it's time for your Sportsman's Warehouse Trivia Question of the Week. And you've heard the phrase, you can't see the forest sometimes for the trees. Well, this week our trivia question is about a species of tree, specifically a pine tree. And this pine tree is found throughout the Northwest, especially in the Rocky Mountain West. And back in the Old West, it had quite a bit of history. Native Americans used the tall, straight trees to construct lodges or teepees in the Rocky Mountain area. And this tree was also used by European settlers to build log cabins, and these logs are still used in rural areas for posts and fences. As a matter of fact, if you visit Yellowstone National Park, you'll find that the walls of the Old Faithful Inn there are actually constructed with this type of pine. Here's your question. What's the name of this pine tree? Is it ponderosa pine? Is it the sugar pine, or is it the lodgepole pine? One lucky person who guesses right wins the $25 gift card we give away every week from America's premier outfitter, Sportsman's Warehouse. And with turkey hunting season underway, as well as a whole bunch of fishing seasons, it's the perfect time to head to a Sportsman's Warehouse store near you and get what you need for hunting, fishing, hiking, camping, backyard grilling, kayaking, canoeing, and a whole lot more. If you can't make it to the store today, check out what they've got online. You'll find it at sportsmans.com. As we wrap things up, I'd like to remind you to visit our website at northwesternoutdoors.com. If you're traveling, you'll find all sorts of stations across the greater Northwest that carry our show at various times. And I hope you'll check out our sponsor links, too. If it wasn't for our sponsors, we wouldn't have the show. So do me a favor, support them by doing so. You're supporting this show, and I'd really appreciate it. One other thing I'd like to mention is a partnership we are doing with Sportsman's Cove Lodge on their YouTube channel, the Cove Sportsman's Network. We're podcasting the Pacific Northwest edition of America Outdoors Radio. That's our sister show. But this edition has expanded content that's related to the Pacific Northwest. And instead of running the normal 45, 46 minutes, it runs close to 59. You can only get it exclusively at the Cove Sportsman's Network, their YouTube channel. So check it out and subscribe. And that way you can hear some more of the great outdoors here in the great Northwest. Until next time, do take care. God bless, and make it a point to spend some time outdoors.